Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice who will make all these women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in the relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Lovely, Cindy. How are you?
I'm good, but I think I have to say, and she's a committed lesbian. How about that? Should we change?
I've gotten over my commitment phobia.
Now that you're in a relationship and happy at it, and is everything going good in your love life?
Everything is wonderful in my love life.
And what you were saying earlier today was that you went for a summer walk. How was it?
It was awesome. Actually, today was a very unusual day for me. Me and my girlfriend had made plans, and the plans just fell through in every single way, shape, and form. So I took the day off today, and all we basically did was normal stuff that couples usually get to do together, like go shopping, you know, for food and stuff at the house. You know, we drove around. You know, her family actually had some stuff going on today, so we went and we did that stuff together. So we actually did stuff that normal couples get to do that normally I don't really get to do.
Because you're working too much.
Because I'm working.
Right, exactly.
And it was very, very nice. And then to cap it all off, you know, I knew I had the show tonight. So, you know, we had gotten back, you know, from our errands a little bit earlier. And we just decided to go for, like, a nice walk. And we were just walking around the neighborhood and, you know, like saying what we liked about houses and this and that and everything else, talking to a couple of neighbors. And it was just, it was, like, really, really nice. And then we just, you know, came back in and settled in. And I got on the phone with you. So it was just perfect.
It's wonderful. And I was explaining, too, that I try to walk almost every night. And I live about 6/10 from the Great South Bay here, so 6/10 of a mile. So we'll walk at night and walk along the beach. And it's just lovely. And I'll even love to ride my bike around here. And I do look at houses because every house in my neighborhood is different. And they're all wonderful. And I just get a kick out of, you know, looking at the houses and enjoying it. And those are the simple pleasures in life when we work a lot we don't get to enjoy. So I'm trying to do that a little more, too. And, you know, all I do is work. And, you know, it's not a lack of money here. It's a lack of time to shop. So sometimes I feel like I live like a refugee because I have nothing. I'm out of everything. So I did get to shop a little bit yesterday. And everything gets delivered here. The FedEx man is my best friend, you know, because without him, nothing would come into the house. So we are trying to take it a little slower this summer. Correct, Nicole? We're taking a little time off?
Not significant time off, but I am taking time off, you know, where, you know, on select afternoons when I leave work, I leave work, you know, and I leave the phone alone. And, like, today was one of those days, you know. So I'm starting to break away a little bit and getting people into a place where I could actually, like, leave my job and really, like, check out of it, you know, because that's my biggest downfall is that I leave
work. And that's the same thing with me because I work from the home, so that means you work 24/7. So, you know, now that I have a new house and I have a very nice master suite upstairs, there's no phone in there. And there's no computers, although I bring my iPad. I sneak my iPhone and iPad up there. But I do try to, like, just go up there and forget about business for a while because otherwise we get tired. Well, Nicole, I know we have a lot of callers tonight, and we don't screen the first caller, so I'm going to let you dive right in because people have been waiting a long time. There's people waiting upwards of 20 minutes. So.
The person that was dedicated enough to wait the longest.
Yes.
And we're going to go just so they know that we're addressing them to this to the 858 area code. The last four digits of the number will be 4415.
Okay, terrific.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're on the air. This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Well, we were seeing how long you've been waiting, and we love it because, you know, you really are determined to get a reading, and you're a smart lady. And what's your name, by the way?
My short name is Anne.
Anne, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Okay, we love our California clients. And Anne, I imagine that you must have something pressing on your heart and soul, or you wouldn't have waited so long to get through. So why don't you just ask us your question, and let's see if we can cut right to the chase.
Okay, let me ask you, it can be only romance question, or it could be any kind
of
question?
No, it could be anything that's on your mind.
Okay, well, probably the most important question that is on my mind now, the situation with getting a job. We're in negotiations with the company, and I don't know if it will work out, these negotiations, and I'll get a job with them. They will offer me a job, but this will not happen. What do you feel?
Okay, I see actually in terms of job, you definitely getting a new job, and pretty soon, do you have to learn something? Because this is a job that you use your skills, but there's a lot of learning. Is that the kind of job this would be?
Well, yes. Actually, we're discussing any job that will be available. The problem with the pay, I used to work for this company and have a good pay, and now we're discussing so the pay will be comparable. So do you think that they will agree to give me a comparable pay and hire me? I'm willing to learn, but the pay should be comparable so I will be able to afford to pay my bills and everything.
Okay, it looks like this particular job, you know, they may not come through with that. And what's really sad about the economy right now is corporations and businesses are making more money than ever. And yet they're cutting back salaries and health insurance. And because everybody's afraid for their job, they tend to say, okay, you can pay me less. For you, they're probably going to offer you a little bit more money than they originally offered, but it really doesn't look like, enough money, but you could possibly take it and still look for something else. Is that what you're planning on doing?
Well, actually, we're planning to get a permanent job because I work for the company, and they made a mistake and laid me off from it where I should not be laid off. So now we're in negotiations so they will take me back. But the money that they offered me is less than unemployment. That was a serious issue. So they couldn't offer so little amount of money because in my position they hired someone with two times more money that they're offering me. So in other words, it was a mistake. Someone is in my position getting my money. So they
exactly.
have to
There's actually a lawsuit here. Were you thinking of suing these people?
I was told I need to do this. I was trying to avoid this because the company actually doesn't even have money to pay for the lawsuit, my understanding. And
again,
it would be much easier.
Remember, people lie and they lie a lot. They're thinking, you know, you're a good person, you're a trusting person. They screwed you out of your job, and now they're telling you, you know, we don't have money for this. Do you necessarily believe people? You know, do you think all this is a mistake? You know, who got your job, who benefited from that person getting the job. I mean, there's a little bit getting the blinders off in this world lately that something isn't kosher here, and you know it, and I know it. And they're trying to make it like if you waste your time with a lawsuit, you're not going to win. That's pretty much what they're telling you.
No, they're not saying this. I will win, but I don't want to be out of job for the next several years. I would better get a job and have an income than to spend my energy on the lawsuit. That's actually my position. I don't want to spend time.
But again, it looks like they're not going to offer you the money that's, close to what you had before. So that's something for you to keep in mind. Are you still looking elsewhere?
It's a difficult situation. I don't want to go into details. Yes, I was looking. It's not successfully. The situation is really bad in California, and I had more rights to go back to this company than I have a chance to find a job somewhere else with that high salary that I had. They owe me. Believe me, they owe me much more than I could find somewhere else.
Right. Again, you have done a good job in the past, and they look like they would want to keep you on board. But, you know, you have to watch your back a little bit here. You know, there are people that you're trusting that aren't necessarily telling you the truth. And there is money and a job coming. And so, again, it just may not be exactly the amount of money you wanted, but... Are you willing to take it if they offer you less?
It depends how much. If it's 50% less, no. It depends how much less, but not 50% less.
Right.
It depends. We can compromise, but that's why in the negotiations, it should be less, but to a certain point less, not too much less.
Right. But you have a very good five-year period opening up in terms of career. And so, you know, just be, you know, put that positive energy out there. They are just really not playing fair with you, and you're not the only person that corporations are doing this to. And at least they know now that you're not going to take it lying down. That's a good thing that you've kind of been fighting, because if you just sort of, you know, didn't fight and took what they offered you, you would have been miserable. So, you know, it looks pretty good here for you. Again, it doesn't look like they're going to give you what you were used to, but it will be something for you to have and then look for something else in the future.
Can I just quickly ask a
sure
question?
Sure.
The person that is actually helping me, that man, I want to trust him. He seems to be like a really nice person. Do you think that he's interested in me romantically or it's not?
Absolutely. That's why I said in some ways he's a man who's doing something and wanting something in return. And just, you know that he, you know, he seems like a nice man and he's not an evil man by any means, but he is hoping for a little bit more than just you getting a job. So, you know, are you interested in him in that way?
Yes,
okay.
I'm also, and I don't know.
Okay,
what
good,
is,
because I'm just saying he looks like a man who's definitely interested in you. So, you know, that isn't a bad thing if you like him too, because then, you know, it's a two-way street here.
So do you think this can have a development, this, I would say, interest, this mutual interest can have a development?
It looks like it could, except he's a little bit afraid of long-term commitment. So, you know, just take it one day at a time with him. And, you know, he definitely is in your corner as far as wanting you to get the job. And he doesn't want to lose sight of you, but that doesn't mean he's going to be committing to a relationship. But, you know, he wants to keep you within his reach. You might be the one who has to move it a little forward if you have that kind of interest.
Well, I will not, because there's many reasons. That's why I thought I would ask you if he's going to make any moves to show his interest.
He probably will, but again, it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for fun and games and an affair, that's what's here. If you're looking for a relationship, I don't really see him wanting that right now.
Is he in the relationship at this moment with someone else?
It looks as if he has someone else in the picture. That he's been there for a while, so that's why I'm saying, this might be more than you want to take on right now in terms of, you know, your job, because it could get sticky or messy.
Okay.
Anytime you have a job, you have to be careful about starting a relationship. You know that.
He's not working with me, no. He's not going to work with me in the same company.
Oh, good. Okay, but he's helping you
he just helps me from the outside.
Okay,
he's
good.
He has a good job.
Again, he's a person who, you know, deliberately isn't letting you know too much about his private life. Because then you might not want to get involved with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, your cards actually look good. You know, there is a nice man in the future here, a man who does make good money, so it could possibly be this guy. Again, the job looks promising. It might not be the amounts of money. Again, in the next 5 years, things are going to open up for you, so be a little bit patient.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for calling us.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate it. It's my first time calling, and I think it was very nice show, and I enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Anne. Awesome. Bye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, Cindy,
Nicole,
you ready?
It's driving me crazy because I have an echo. I have an echo on her call. Can you talk to me? I want to see if the echo is still there.
You know what? It probably is not. It probably is not going to be there. She might have been listening to you on the radio. And she might have just been too close.
All right, so what we need people to do is if you're coming through, please lower down your radio because otherwise I hear an echo and it makes me crazy. I can't think, you know what I mean, because I'm hearing myself.
Yes,
you know how that is,
right?
Have you ever been on the phone where there's an echo?
Well, I've been on the phone where there's an echo and I've been on the phone like where I'm hearing stuff and I think it's coming through the line, but it's not.
Well, you can imagine. I don't know if I'm
nearly as good as you are.
I'm like, are the dead people speaking loud? Oh, no, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right, Cindy, actually, you and I were discussing a caller earlier today before we actually started the show, and I just wanted to let you know that Jay is on the line.
Okay, terrific.
Okay. He's calling from Kew Gardens, and I'm just going to let you guys take it from there.
Okay,
hello, Jay, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Jay. I'm fine. Jay is a client I've read before, and I know he called me today for a reading, and this day's been solidly booked, so he was so smart to say, can I call in on the radio show? And, of course, he always could. So, Jay, why don't you just ask us your question, and I'll pull some cards. And, of course, I remember well who you are.
I have, there's really two relationships I'm in right now. But more pressing is I'm supposed to be going on this trip to Europe next Monday, and I'm having some doubts whether I should or not.
Okay,
and
is this with the primary relationship, the one you have with your you know, the mother of your children, or is this with the other woman?
Yes.
Okay, it actually looks like you are definitely worrying a lot about it, and it looks like you'll have a good time on the trip itself, but you might open up a can of worms here. Is that what you're concerned about?
I am. Yes. I mean, I'm going through a divorce with the mother of my children. So that's the first relationship. That's one relationship. The other relationship is my girlfriend. And, you know, we've been going out for about 10 months, known each other for about 10 months. We've actually moved in together. And this trip has been planned for the past 6 months.
Okay. It looks like, does your, you know, ex-wife-to-be know about this? Because this looks like it's going to affect your divorce settlement at some level.
She may or may not know.
Okay. I hope you're watching your back a little bit with your, let's call her your ex now, because she can play unfair money-wise with you. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And, you know, the trip looks like you should relax and enjoy it. Are you feeling guilty or something? Because there's some sort of mixed feelings here that I'm not sure why you would have them, because the trip looks like you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, guilt is, I think, centers around my children because I have that week and a half off, which I could have spent with my kids.
Okay, that's what I'm seeing here. And again, I need to kind of alleviate some of your guilt, Jay, because the primary unit in the world is supposed to be soulmates. And I know you and your present love are soulmates. It's a heart, soul, mind, body love. And the two of you need to nurture that and make that very strong, because your children are going to have to relive the marriage they saw when they were growing up, particularly before the age of 5. We always relive our parents' marriage because we're very judgmental. And your little ones are sitting there saying, well, if I were married, I would never get a divorce. If I were married, it would always work. I'd always be lovey-dovey. And they're going to have to, you know, pick people who they can't fix or get involved in a relationship that isn't working and try to make it work for a long time. But if they see that if you leave something that's bad or that's not working and you get something better, they won't stay in that energy for 10 years, 15 years, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. So for your children's sake, you and your soulmate need to work on that relationship. You need this honeymoon. You need to put yourselves that you're the beacon of light for those kids to see the way two people treat each other like equals. Nobody's mommy to a boy. Nobody's the master over the slave. They're two equals, and they're two healthy psychological people.
Okay.
So look at this as an investment in your relationship. And then, you know, promise yourself when you return to schedule a little extra time with the kids.
Right.
But this is something she needs because, you know, she's taken on heavy karma. I know you're a hardworking man. I know, you know, you make good money and you're very good at your job. You're a very good healer and all of that. But she's taken on the karma of an ex-wife, and you have three kids. Is that what you have?
I have four.
I have four kids, because I know there's a lot of kids in this picture. And
yeah,
four
she's got a
kids. So she's carrying five crosses, okay, here? So she has to feel that at some level, she has you once in a while to herself, too, that she has to come first once in a while.
Okay.
So I want you to just start praying to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. Have that honeymoon with her and, you know, promise yourself that you will spend some extra time with the kids. They're going to be okay, but if you don't show them that you leave a bad relationship and there's something better, we're dooming our kids to, especially your age group of kids because they're fairly young, dooming them. That generation is not going to want love because what they see is love starts at good and it stinks. So they're going to sit with their computers, their iPads, you know, and not even connect. So there's nothing bad about you taking this trip other than you feeling like, you know, you're doing something wrong, which you're really not. You know, you need to just love her. You know, really just give her this week and a half of attention. Don't you think she deserves that?
She does. But just to add a little aside, there were certain things that she's done and said to my towards me and my family, which was another reason why I kind of had second thoughts about going on this trip. And I don't know how to take that.
Is it because she's now beginning? You know, your relationship is 10 months old, you said, correct?
About, yes, approximately.
Okay. So all relationships start out looking good. And even with soulmates, you know, 45% of people are offered a soulmate love. You were offered a soulmate love, not even so much because of your own karma, but for your kids' sake. They got to start seeing something better. But usually about 3 to 6 months into it, you know, suddenly we see, what am I signing on for? Oh, a man with four kids and an ex-wife. Suddenly it's not so hunky-dory. So she is a little bit jealous of them. Are you aware of that?
That thought has crossed my mind.
And, you know, the playing field's not level. You got an ex-wife and the mother of your kids, and there's four of them. Even if she is one of your kids, the playing field's never going to be level. You know, this woman, so she feels a little threatened by them, and rightfully so at some level if they're always going to have the top priority over her. So, you know, if you could connect and when you're with her, love her fully and give to her, she'll open her heart much more to the kids and be there. Again, if she can't accept what your load is to carry, and it is those kids, they're your kids and you're a good dad, then she won't be the right woman. So these are things that you see her viewpoint, but if she's going to be jealous of your kids or resent the time that you do have to spend with them, they are your children, it won't work. But right now, just go with this week and a half. It's scheduled. Go. Make it a honeymoon. Love her the best you can. And then take it one day at a time.
Okay.
You know, don't jump into marrying her because, you know, you need that like a hole in the head, another divorce. And for your kids' sake, it wouldn't be good. But, again, she does have some jealousy. It's somewhat, if you could walk through her shoes. Can you see why, you know, there's five people crying, daddy, daddy, come home. Do you know what I mean? There's four kids and your wife.
Yeah.
She feels almost torn between, you know, who is her, or is your allegiance to.
Mm-hmm.
The soulmate unit, if it's soulmate, and that's heart, soul, mind, body, committed love, committed to healing and bringing out the best, is the primary unit. If this becomes toxic because the two of you are fighting over the kids, it's not the primary unit anymore. It's just another bad example for your kids. Have they met her yet?
Oh, yeah. No, we've gone on vacation. Actually, we went on vacation last week to Pennsylvania, to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so you gave a family vacation. So now, right, and again, try not to project into the millennium what's going to happen. Take it one day at a time. But the issues do begin to surface about now, you know, when we start realizing, oh, God, I took on this guy with all these kids and, you know, whatever. And you can understand her viewpoint, but you are a package deal right now, so she's got to take the package. And, you know, you have to give her that choice, you know, have the courage to say to her, look, I can't battle over my kids. I can't be torn between them and you. So, you know, you're my lover. You're supremely important to me, but they're my kids as well. So I love you all, and you have to be willing to share me. Even if you had kids of your own, there are, you know, my mother, and my mother died like a year ago, you know, just about now. My mother was always jealous of me. My father was never really permitted to love me because my mother had to be the queen bee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her jealousy of me interfered with me having a relationship with my father. I mean, it doesn't just have to do with stepmothers. You know, my mother, you know, I used to call her Mirror, Mirror on the Wall mother. She was like an evil stepmother as far as I could see. So the jealousy doesn't necessarily even have to do always with whose kids they are. Some people don't want to share their lovers with anybody, and those are people that shouldn't have kids.
Right, right.
Does she have a generous spirit?
She does. I mean, her core is generous.
Okay. And again, we all have ego warfare. We have our ego and we have our soul.
Yes.
And our souls can be highly evolved, but our egos can be equally as, you know, fighting to win. Love her as much as you can. But if you're continually torn, then you're going to have to give the choice, you know, take 2 feet out and say, look, this isn't working. See how life is without me and make your choice. You have to give people the choice. This is what it is. This is what you've signed on for. Maybe you didn't realize it. I see it a lot with people who sign on for being a stepmother or having children. Sometimes they really can't do it.
Right.
And it's not, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of, but it's something to say, look, this is more than I can handle.
Okay.
So, you know, usually, you know, just enjoy your trip, love her, and, you know, give to her during the trip. You know, are you going to send your kids postcards or things or not? Send them postcards, bring them back little things and share the trip with them through pictures and let them feel a part of it.
Okay.
But, again, jealousy is one of those things that we all have to overcome. And, you know,
And keep in mind something. Jealousy is also about fear. You know, if this woman is jealous of your children, she's probably, you know, questioning whether or not you have any sort of allegiance to her to begin with. You know,
right.
So maybe by taking this trip, if you are uncertain of certain things, maybe by taking this trip, you're just giving her that reassurance that she needs and that, yes, you guys are a family unit and, yes, she can accept your kids so long as she has that place in your heart.
Okay.
Right, and I'm glad that you called because I think you needed to just allow yourself, live in the now when you're on that trip. Live for today. Enjoy today. Don't think about, is she going to be the woman with me for the rest of my life? You just enjoy a week and a half. You work so hard. You are such a giver to people.
Yeah.
You need to just relax. Are you aware of that? You've been through a lot I think it's 2 years I've been talking to you now, or a year and a half or something.
Yeah, about a year
You've been through a lot. So you just need a vacation. You just need to be Jay, who's a young man, not strapped with all the responsibilities of the world. Just make love, enjoy, and just enjoy the week. And don't figure out where does this lead to? You know, what's the outcome?
Okay.
Because if we project, what if this happens, what if that happens, too much in the future, we really don't know what the future holds. But if you're having a good time for that week and a half, wonderful. Well, good luck to you, and email me and let me know how the trip went.
Well, Cindy, I'm glad I got to talk to you today.
Me too. And thanks for thinking of the radio show.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care,
bye. Jay.
Thanks, Nicole.
Boy, life is complicated, isn't it?
It really is. Well, that's why, you know, whether this person is like the end-all, be-all for him or whether this person is not, Yeah, I mean, you and I both know, Sydney, this is a main focus in part of your book, and that's why your book, you know, transcends just kind of romantic love, and that's why it goes into any kind of love. Now, whenever you're jealous of anything, there's some sort of a fear there, and you either have to address the fear and overcome it, or it's going to consume you and it's going to harm the relationship in a negative way. So whether or not that damage is already done at this point with him and her, that is for him to decide, and I think the only way that he can actually approach it is to listen to you and is to go and live in the now and enjoy the trip and see, you know, her colors outside of whatever they face at home. Because you know what? Maybe this woman just needed a break. Maybe she just needed some reassurances. Maybe she needs to realize that her life with him is going to be separate from his life with his kids, and that when they come together, that's, you know, again, part of something different. You
and
know,
again,
but you have to give everything a fair shot.
Of course. And if you remember, in the beginning, love is blind. And we go, and oh, he's got four kids. He's got an ex-wife. No big deal. Or this person's been in jail. Whatever people have done, oh, I can carry that. Oh, he's been a drug addict, or he's this. I can handle this. But when people actually, the reality of it hits in, sometimes they can't handle it. Sometimes,
yeah.
And if you've signed on for a man with children and you realize, I didn't know myself well enough. I didn't realize this is not what I wanted. It's okay to say, I love you, but this is more than I can carry. Why don't we just be
yep.
honest? I mean, you
Absolutely.
Don't. A kiss is not a contract. You know, if you...
No.
Sometimes we really don't know. You know, I had a relationship for 5 years prior to the one that I have now, and I didn't realize how heavy that person's karma was to carry. And I couldn't carry it anymore. But the 5 years we were together was wonderful. But sometimes we realize it's more than we can handle, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means now you know yourself a little bit better. And, you know, we have to take responsibility. If we get involved with somebody and they have heavy karma and then, you know, all of a sudden we're playing victim. Look, you know, you knew he had kids. You knew what this story was. Do you know what I mean? Don't play
exactly.
victim. So it is, you know... Just
and this guy, and obviously Jay is intent on being a good father. Otherwise, you know, he's not this type of absentee dad, I don't think, that would be like, oh, yeah, you know, well, I have
no,
kids
Jay
whatever,
is,
and then, you know, never really
Jay,
affects the current relationship, you know? I mean, the poor guy is sitting there feeling badly that he's taking a vacation because he could be with his children. You know, he's obviously struggling with that. And you know what? For the ladies out there that do decide to get involved with you know, divorced men or men with children, let me just tell you something. Those kids always come first. Just as if you had your children would come first over any relationship because those are your children. They did not ask to be born into this world. They're your responsibility until they can take care of themselves and beyond. You know, and no man or woman should be at fault for being a good parent.
Exactly. And Jay is also a doctor, so... He has patients.
Thank God bless
him. He has
you
to
know?
Give 100% to his patients. He has to give 100% to his kids. And, you know, if he's still on the line, I hope Jay prays to do what's best for everyone, including himself. He needs a vacation.
Absolutely. He needs it, and he needs to just relax a little bit, I think.
Absolutely. So I think, did
Go
you
have
screen
some mojitos, Jay.
I know. He's
what's
a wonderful
that?
Man. Did we screen another caller? I see we have lots and lots
but
of callers.
But of course I did. We're actually going to go into Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, good.
And
I love Brooklyn.
We're going to speak to Lisa out in Brooklyn. And she just basically wants an overall future reading. Cindy, she just wants to know, you know, what she has to look forward to.
Okay, great.
All right, so.
Hello?
Hello, Lisa. You're on the air. Are you?
Hi, how are you? Thank you
good,
for taking
Lisa,
my call.
Good, Lisa. Where in Brooklyn are you calling from?
Oh, do I have to say?
I just love Brooklyn. Park Slope's my favorite area.
Oh, I'm
like,
not from there, and I do love Park Slope, by the way. I love it over there.
Okay, good. So we at least agree on that. And I also love Bensonhurst because I was, you know, as being half Italian, you know, my Italian relatives were in Bensonhurst, so I grew up a lot in Bensonhurst. So I have my certain areas that I do love.
Nice, and I have family in Long Island, so,
so
it's all good mix.
Good. And what I see here for you is, first of all, I just need your age because there's generational karma and there's the cards have different meanings for different ages.
Okay, well, I also wanted to say that my question is about love and seeing that soulmate come in for me, and I really do operate at a high vibration, and I'm 34, so I wanted to
okay,
tell you
good.
That just so you know.
Okay, good. And you, I have a 31-year-old daughter. I'm pretty familiar with your generation. It's the booty call generation.
yeah.
And for you, I see that you've had, you know, you had a relationship that didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. But I hope you've learned the lessons from it.
Absolutely, I have, yes.
Good. And you, and stop beating yourself over the head, because he really was the prince that became the beast. This man didn't show all his colors in the beginning. And if you had stayed with him, you would have been miserable. So here is this wonderful man coming, smart, peaceful thoughts. This is going to happen very soon. It's very unusual with your cards, because you asked me the future, and it actually is addressing the immediate future where you should be falling in love. That will lead to very peaceful thoughts and a wonderful five-year period opening up in which you will be married. And I hope you want children, because they're showing up in these cards. So
yes.
There's that. So your cards
are... Well, my
are,
plan is to have the kids after I'm married.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a good idea. I'll tell you why. You know, being that I was a mom, it takes two parents of any sort, or two people, to raise a kid, because you can't always be there. It's hard work, and it really is nice to have, you know, someone else there to help you raise children. I think financially, emotionally, and everything, it really is ideal if it's a loving relationship. If not, forget it. You're better off, you know, by yourself raising kids. But this is a man who thinks like you. He's close to your age, maybe a tad bit older.
Mm-hmm.
But a man who's also like you, who's been hurt in love. He's a giver. You're a giver. He's not a taker. But you have to sort of overcome some fear, because you are a little bit afraid. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm going to say yes. But right now, I like to be self-sufficient. And right now, I'm waiting to hear back about work opportunities. And that is keeping me in that arena that I'm trying to get out of, because I dated someone briefly just to get out of my shell and say, you know what, I'm going to date. I know I'm not working. And that, it put me back in the uncomfortable state. So I just said, you know what, let me just really, really, really focus on getting my ducks in a row and then completely open up. Because that's really, the fear is the waiting at the moment. Literally, I'm waiting to hear back about a job.
Well, you're going to get that. This is a wonderful, your whole life is about to change. Probably your soulmate is linked to this new job, too. Because when people seem to be, like, on their knees, which only God could bring you on your knees, you don't have a job, you don't have a guy, you don't, you know, your whole life is sort of in transition. God kicked you in the ass, gave you a cosmic kick, and said, okay, you've wanting a better life. We'll get rid of all the devils we know, the jobs that we're staying in that we don't like, the men we're with that we don't like, and your whole life is going to be moved forward. So, you know, just it's just about ready to happen here. And again, you were out dating. Try not to look at it as a bad thing, even if the guys you meet are really like, oh, my God, these guys are awful. God is just trying to show you that your judgment is good now. You're not the same girl who was fooled in the past. So sometimes going out can be fun if you don't look at it as like an execution or a life-death thing. Isn't it wonderful to figure out a guy or a girl is an idiot in
yes,
two dates
is.
Instead of 20 years? Instead of 20 years, two dates instead of two years. I mean, these are God's way of saying to you, see, aha, you do have good radar. You do have
yeah,
good judgment.
I feel
so
like
don't
that.
So don't think about it as being, oh, I can't believe I'm out, and why did God, like, why do I have to go out with that idiot? Because you know what? It really just shows us that we have grown and that we might have been fooled 5 years ago by that person, but we're not fooled now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even sometimes just to get out in the dating world and enjoy a nice date. You know, everybody goes like, oh, is this the guy? Is this the one? Why don't you just go and have dinner and enjoy the now? And if he wasn't the one, you know, and it didn't work, you say, look, you're a great guy, and I really wish it was you, but it isn't. But thank you for this wonderful evening.
Yeah. That
and
actually,
I want you
yeah.
to why do you have to be like, make it like it's a bit, why can't just people say, you know, this was really great. You made me at least believe there are good guys, and I want someone to love you the way you should be loved. And it wouldn't be me, but you really deserve someone who's going to be head over heels for you, and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, why can't people just be kind?
Yeah. I went out with someone like that a couple of months ago. Well, not a couple, maybe like almost 6 months ago, and said that to him.
See,
I knew
you heard divine guidance. And didn't it feel good to say
yes,
that?
Yes, it did. I didn't want to lie to him, but I wanted to tell him that he deserves what he wants. You know, but I knew that wasn't me. In my last situation, that just was about 4 months, I just stepped up and looked out for myself, and I was like, this guy is not what I'm looking for. I had some lovely times with him, but this is going down a road I'm not interested in. And that's one something I walked away from recently. So I am going out. I am meeting people. I actually am going to a couple of – I'm going to a barbecue on the 13th – the 14th that I'm looking forward to. I mean, do you pick up on meeting anybody there, or it's going to be
something
more?
I just see that you're going to expand your friendships, expand people, and in meeting people, sometimes – people just, women have to just go places, or men have to go places, you know, like a barbecue, because that's, you know, how you eventually meet other people who will expand your world. So you might not meet him through that barbecue, but I'll tell you how I met TJ, my fiancé, is I was filming the first episodes of The Real Housewives of Manhattan. I was a psychic on the show, and they were having a party, so I was at the party. And the people at the party happened to like me and say, we're having a party in Southampton next week. Why don't you come to the party? So I went to the party alone. I didn't bring a friend with me because you're always worried they're not having a good time. They're whining,
yes,
they're complaining.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Oh, it stinks. I don't like to be here. I mean, I have a great time. Look, I all I do is work. I'll sit in a closet for all day and have a good time. You know what I mean? When I'm not working. So I went there by myself, and then through there I met my friend Judy and her husband Michael, and they invited me to stay at their house in East Hampton whenever I wanted in the summer. So I went there. And 2 years later, Judy's mother, who recently died, she was 93, and she was coming to a little bar party that everybody wanted to meet her, Judy's mother. And I went there to meet her mother, even though I was tired. And TJ went there to meet Judy's mother, and that's how we met. So, and he met Judy by taking a course, and that's where he met Judy and Michael. So sometimes it might have taken 2 years for me to meet him from the original party that I went to, but that's how it goes. Do you know what I mean? Just going out, mm-hmm. meeting, and if your friends don't want to go to something, go without them.
Yes, I actually always do that, and I meet more people when I'm alone, because
exactly,
I am the kind of friend that looks out for my friends,
mm-hmm.
and if they're not having as much fun as me, it takes away.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I'd rather have a guy just see me on my own moving around the room, and then they approach me.
Right, and most of the time people don't even know if you came with somebody else anyway. For all
exactly.
they know, the person left already or whatever. So go by yourself, because when you go with your friend, you have to sit in the corner with them and talk with them and hold their hands and babysit. Whereas if you're by yourself, you just mingle, you talk, and it really does expand your world. And once you're not afraid to go by yourself, you go to events you want to go to. I mean, I used to go to plays that nobody wanted to go by myself. And I'd sit down and I'd say to the people sitting around me, yeah, I have no friends, that's why I'm alone. And I'd sit down and they'd all laugh, do you know what I mean? And then I'd start talking to the people, and I met people just by, you know, opening up the conversation. And then people would start talking about, oh, I could never go anywhere alone. And they love talking about to someone who could actually go to a party or a play or a movie by themselves.
Because they're so used to people having to have, like, little ass buddies tagging along everywhere they go.
And, you know, in the city, in Queens and Manhattan, like, women will just go by themselves to places more. But, you know, in the suburbs, they come in packs. Even for tarot card
readings,
they come here in fours, threes and fours. a whole pack of suburban women come here. Do you know what I mean? I can always tell my Queens client, because they drive, they don't even know they are. They drive by themselves from Queens, or they take a train, they come by themselves. They don't bring a pack, you know? So it's one of those things. Imagine they have to come in a pack for a tarot reading.
Oh, my goodness. I'd rather go alone.
Me too. I'd rather
have
them one-on-one.
I guess I like my privacy. I mean,
well, that's the kind of person who will make no excuses for abuse, and that's the kind of person that's going to have a wonderful love affair because you're not afraid to be alone. Hooray.
Oh, thank you for that, because I've heard a lot of serious, you know, things happen on the show. I've listened to your show before, and I was like, wow. I mean, I feel bad, but I'm happy that they get the information they need to help themselves get out of the situations. And you were right. He was a prince before he was showing his beast side, and I'm glad I was able to get out.
Right, and if you notice, I really try to be as honest and blunt as I can, and I'm not by any means trying to be mean or judgmental.
No, you're very compassionate. No, you're very compassionate.
Everything I teach is what I've learned, and I've had to learn the hard way, believe me. And it's one of those things that you are, I just need you to close your eyes and relax and visualize the man you're going to be with, the job that you want, because it's here. I mean, you really just need to take a deep breath and say, let me just rest for these next few weeks before my whole life just changes. And, you know, just gather that strength, because your changes are almost immediate here. You know, like, it's here.
Wow.
And that's exactly the way that it happened for me. And let me tell you something, when it happens, you are so not expecting it.
You really
are not. Because, you know, just like Cindy said, you know, like, you know, as far as like how she met, you know, TJ. You know, I mean, I met my, ironically enough, through a friend of a friend who I had known for about a year. You know, like, you know, I mean, like just like casual, you know, he used to come into my business, just a very, very casual guy, never, ever, ever once spoke to me about relationships, love, or anything of the sort. And all of a sudden, one day, he goes, I have a friend for you, you need to meet my friend. And then when I actually met, you know, my girlfriend, we were both in the same place where we were both very, very anti-commitment. We just kind of, you know, wanted to like, be around each other and have all of, like, the cushiness of relationships without actually having one. And the more we talked, and this and that, like, I took out her friends on dates when I was dating, you know, like, you know, like all of a sudden she'd be like, oh my God, you went out with so-and-so, I heard about you. And I'd be like, oh my God, we were supposed to go over to see your friend over here, and I never made it there. I ran late that day, and I must have just missed you. You know, like we have been circling each other for years.
Wow, that's divine timing.
We never once found out that we were in the same room together, ever. I mean, like, a couple of weeks ago, we had Lisa Fodor from Blue Movie on, you know, and she gave her insight to a lot of things. Well, as it turns out, you know, Lisa was part of other bands, and, you know, my girlfriend is very, very good friends with her. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, here I am, and I'm like, okay, fun, you know, let's go over to see this show. It's a local band, and, you know, here my current girlfriend is going to see one of Lisa Fodor's old bands, and then I wind up seeing, you know, the band, but not the girl, you know, because we just happened to miss each other. We were just never meant to be in the same room.
Well, you
together
weren't ready,
before
Nicole.
That. No, exactly. Neither was she, I don't think. Neither was she. So I think that we were circling until we both kind of threw our hands up and said, whatever happens, happens. Give me what you got, universe. And I could not be more grateful to what I have now, because it's just absolutely wonderful. And it was worth every single minute of the wait.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so that's what we need for you to know. And thank you for calling us and for listening to this show, because, you know, all of us are making the same mistakes and need the same guidance and insight. So just listening to other people, we learn a lot, you know, and I learn a lot from my clients, and they teach me every day. And, you know, love and relationships, there aren't too many people getting it right. So we really need to get that guidance from other people who see, you know, who are finally getting it right. And that's an important thing, that there are good people out there, good men and women, and, you know, you're definitely going to have this great guy. So please call us back and let us know when it happens.
I will. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wasn't she sweet?
She was so sweet. I like the sweet people.
Yeah, me too. You know, and I see that you've done a couple of screenings, so you want to just...
Yeah, we're going to go into the next one,
okay.
And we're going to go over to Natasha, who is calling us from Florida. And basically, the only thing that I can possibly say about this, Cindy, is that she's got a love question, and it's complicated.
Oh,
because first, like, you know, I just
but love
it.
Is simple, Nicole. Love is simple.
I
you
know.
Meet somebody,
I know.
You love them,
you know,
and it's heaven.
I asked her, Cindy, I kid you not, she said, you know, I'm just, you know, concerned about a love situation, but it's kind of complicated. I said, well, is this a love situation that you want to be in, or is this a love situation that you are in? She's like, both. So I can just see that it's complicated right now. So we're going to move on to Florida, sunny Florida. We're going to speak to
Hi.
Natasha.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Natasha. So
Hi.
It's complicated, huh?
It is, unfortunately.
Okay, so give us a little detail so we can, you know, figure out what's complicated from what really could be simplified.
Okay, been off and on with him for about 6 years, and I don't know, I'm just so confused on the whole thing.
Okay, how old are
doing,
you? How
I'm
old
35.
Are you?
35.
Okay.
I know I sound younger. I'm 35.
Right.
He's doing some spiritual changes right now, which I'm hoping will bring us, you know, closer, but I'm just not sure anymore what to do. That's why I kind of want to see what you
Okay. Relationships tend to work in five-year cycles. By the time you guys hit the five-year mark, God wasn't too thrilled with what's going on here. That one foot in, one foot out you guys
mm-hmm.
have been doing, relationships can't be fixed that way. They either either 2 feet in or 2 feet out,
right.
You know, which means you're really committing to each other. You're definitely going to be with a soulmate. This guy looks like he started out a soulmate, like the heart, soul, mind, body. Did
mm-hmm.
you love him that way?
Oh, I still do.
Okay, so soulmates love each other with their heart, with their soul, with their mind, and with their bodies. They have a
and that's so funny. Those words are exactly what I've told him before.
See, you're channeling something because most people would not know to say those four words, okay? So that's what soulmates are, but soulmates also are two people that love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body, and they commit to that love and they commit to healing. Without commitment to love and commitment to healing, it drags down the ladder of love to something else, sometimes to toxic love. Your generation
mm-hmm.
has a lot of toxic love, two angry
right.
people raging behind closed doors. They're reliving a lot of their parents' marriage, so they've seen love starts out good and it stinks, and they keep reliving that pattern. Most love is usually somewhere in the middle. It's kind of like a sitcom. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, and you take each other for granted. This relationship either has to be brought back up to soulmate. You can't just sort of flatline it.
Mm-hmm.
Does he deliberately try not to see you sometimes?
I don't know. I know we have a daughter together, so, I mean, he should want to see her.
Okay, and why you don't live with him?
We don't. We haven't lived together since she's been born, and she's almost three. That's why
Now, your daughter, who you love like crazy, I want you to love yourself the way you love your daughter. If she were with a man who couldn't commit to her, even when he's the father of her child,
right.
would you want this for your daughter?
No, I completely understand where you're coming from. I do.
And now she's going to relive this. She's going to pick a man who won't commit to her. Only, you know, her dad's a decent guy, but she'll pick, you know, we always pick worse. So, you know, he's
right.
decent. She'll pick the heroin addict that can't commit to anything but heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to prove that she could fix him, that she could bring him to her. You need to, you know, pretty much tell this man that, you know, this is not what I signed on for. I signed on for heart, soul, mind, body, committed love, committed to our family, our love, not for him to waltz in and waltz out as he feels
right.
like. And
right.
He's your age also?
He's not. He's younger. That's why I've kind of, I mean, I've held on for so long too, because I do feel that connection, the heart, the mind, everything. Like, I've tried to walk away, I've tried to do better, and I can't. It's like something, I'm like stuck. But now that he's older, I met him when he was very young, and now that he's older and doing, he's kind of bringing himself closer to God and trying to live the right way. I'm like kind of hoping that it will, you know, get better. So,
okay, and again, you need to visualize a certain time frame here, you know, between now and, because you have a daughter together, God would usually ask for 6 months to a year to see.
Right.
You know, between now and, say, January 1st or Valentine's Day, let's say Valentine's Day, I want you to, on Valentine's Day, to think, is this where I want to be? Is he loving me, heart, soul, mind, and body? Is he committed to me? Is he here? If on Valentine's Day you feel exactly as you do right now, you need to pretty much take 2 feet out. You know, he has to see your daughter, of course, but you can't be texting and talking to him, sleeping with him, because
right.
he doesn't have anything to lose. If he realizes it, you're really saying, look, we have a daughter together. I honor that you're the father of my daughter. But you're not going to be my lover or my husband because you don't want to be. And I want to find that. I want to find a family unit for myself and for my daughter.
I've told him.
But you have to mean it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that
I know.
You can't in a moment of weakness because you have a lousy first date go running back to him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he loves you. It's not a question of that. But soulmate love equals peace and love and joy. This right now is painful, and that's toxic
mm-hmm.
love. You know, he has issues with commitment because of his family. Do you know about his parents?
I do. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a person. Sometimes people just, they're swearing they're never going to get divorced. They're never going to do what their parents did. They do it by not signing on for a relationship. They do it
right.
by not actually marrying or whatever. And, you know, he loves you, and, you know, he loves your daughter, but is he over 25 now?
He is. He's 28 now.
Okay, because he's a man already. Do you understand that? He's not a boy anymore.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we can whine and complain about our parents at the age of 25. Then we got to knock it off and be responsible for our behavior. You're pretty much going to have to call him on his behavior. That, you know, if I were you, I would say, have the courage to say to him, I want you to stick 2 feet in here, move in, be a family, and see what's here. If it doesn't work, we can end it without drama and trauma. But I can't keep doing this dance that goes back and forth forever. And, you know, he may run, but better he runs than he keeps hurting you.
Right.
And he's not fully honest with you about his behavior sometimes. Do you know that about him?
I know. He's done a lot of things in the past that...
Okay, and I'm saying to you as a mother, if a man cheated on your daughter and could have brought her herpes or human papillomavirus or HIV, would you think it's okay?
No, absolutely not. I know.
That's why I need you to love yourself like that, you know, that way. And what you're showing your daughters is that men can have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've come this far in liberation to allow men to do that. So, you know, he loves you. There's no question of that. But love isn't enough if you can't, you know, put your 2 feet in and make it work. And right now, toxic love is what you are, because no matter what he does, you take him back. That's toxic love. I throw acid in your face and you take me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soulmates commit. And they love each other. But people are really afraid of loving somebody who could die on them. Most people are busy watering down love. So, you know, if you die, it's no big deal. Who cares? I'll replace you in record time.
Right.
You both now have a daughter together that you love more than anything. You've opened your heart to loving. You might as well open it with each other. It's you demanding a little more, because what I'm seeing here is this is going to coast on for a long time. And right now he's telling you he's finding God. And, you know, the people have hurt me the most, the people in the name of God, you know. So I'm not impressed with that. Do you know what I mean? It's if you are of God, then you realize that love is God, and that the gift that you have to offer him is comes from God. Soulmate love comes from God. You want to find God, go to your soulmate and love that person, heart, soul, mind, and body. Otherwise, you're not of God one bit or one whatever. So, you know, demand more of him.
Okay.
Trust in yourself enough that he doesn't want to lose you.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't, by any means. And, you know, for your daughter's sake, do you want to show her that men can come in and come out of your life as they please?
No, I know. I know.
And she's seeing things. What was your parents' marriage like, by the way?
They were divorced young as well. And
okay.
Then he lost his mother when he was 7. I don't know if that has a lot of...
Yes, it does, and I'll tell
it.
You why. I wrote my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, because I knew what it was to fall in love with a man who lost his mother at 7. They're sometimes not capable of loving heart, soul, mind, and body, because they never want to love somebody the way they loved their mother. And no one helped them mourn properly. So he doesn't want to open his heart to loving you that way, but his mom gifted you to her son, because soulmate love always comes from God. And his mother, all this boy ever wanted was a happy family. Now, you had to relive your parents' marriage. Can you see how your parents could have started out with soulmates? It could have started out good, and then it got bad, because that's what's happened to you. Started out good, and then it got bad. Forgive your parents. Love is hard. As far as he goes, you have to, you know, get him to open up and realize, you know, he's afraid to love you. He's afraid that he's going to lose you. And in all honesty, I will tell you, a lot of people who lose a parent young are never capable of loving the way they should.
Right.
They just won't overcome that fear. So, you know, you're giving him an opportunity to have everything he ever wanted, a family. And he's blowing it. He, you know, he's loving you with his heart, soul, and mind, but his body is elsewhere. The part that could die, he doesn't want to bring to this picture. He's afraid of that. Call him on his behavior a little bit. His mom is on your side, by amazingly so.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you.
Well,
thank
you
so much for sharing your story with us. Now, Nicole, we just have time for shout-outs. Can you shout out to anybody tonight?
Well, actually, Cindy, as always, I'm shouting out to you because you did a fabulous job. And today I'm going to actually shout out to to our friend Jay that called in today, because you know what, I really feel for him, and you know, I know that he's not in a in an easy situation by any means. You know what, I hope that he finds his peace with that. So my shout out is going to be to Jay.
Oh, thank you so much. And, of course, I hope some of you will join me August 13th in East Hampton for the East Hampton Library Authors Night. Susan Lucci will be there signing her book, Nelson Mill, Alec Baldwin. We have, you know, some of the Real Housewives of Manhattan there. We, you know, it's just a great combination. We have Howard Stern may show up because his wife will be there. You never know who you're going to see walking around there. So, it's a fundraiser for the library, and it's a lovely event. So thanks, everybody, for calling in and sharing, because it really takes a lot of courage to talk online and, you know, like on the radio and for people to hear. But I think everybody's really wanting that higher love, and that's what we're striving for in this new millennium. So thanks, as always, for Nicole. I couldn't do it without Nicole, because she keeps everything running smoothly.
Well, thank you, Cindy, for as always. And goodbye, guys. We will talk to you soon.
Bye.